Prayers ought to be raining our door.
Come over here, kid. Why, sir? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys something. You see, you start out with a little bit of oil. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got to do a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a bigger pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
Potatoes, yeah.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
Stay hungry, stay hungry, stay hungry.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to A Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. How are you doing this evening? Hope you've had a great weekend. Looking forward to a great week ahead of you. It's October. How did that happen? It still feels like almost like a new year to me. 2013 isn't tired yet. When I drive to KRCB on Sunday evenings, I'm driving east because I'm coming from Sebastopol. And normally I'm sort of bummed, especially at this time of year, because the sunset is setting behind me and I can't look at it. But today the eastern sky was so gorgeous. It was all these different shades of mauve going into pale blue and lavender and pinks. It just looked like a water painting. I was mesmerized by it. And as I was leaving Sebastopol, the sun was at that angle where it looks like the entire landscape is bathed in gold. And my quince tree, which is still full despite the couple hundred quince that have already fallen down, fallen to the ground because of the winds. My quince are almost ripe on the tree, and they looked golden. They looked like all these golden apples on the tree. It's just such a great time of year. And at the Sebastopol Farmers Market today, those two great guys, and I have to apologize because I'm not going to remember their names. They're unmistakable. These two guys with really long beards and really long hair who farm up on, I believe it's Kings Ridge Road, up near there above Sea Ranch in that area, way far northwest in Sebastopol. They were there already with their chestnuts, their chanterelle mushrooms, and their quince. They're only there for a few weeks. They're usually gone by Thanksgiving, although I think last year they lasted just a little bit longer. Anyway, it's like with those two guys there who are wonderful and charming and just such rich characters. It is definitely fall in Sonoma County and the North Bay at large. And tonight we're going to talk about the once and future Grange Halls. They used to be the center of communities. I know lots of people have talked about the importance of Grange Halls when it came to meeting your future sweetie, going to dances. I know people who talked about, oh yeah, my grandmother and grandfather, they would go to Grange Halls for the dances in a horse and buggy. And I really have sort of mourned the fact that there are no dances for adults. But maybe there will be. Grange Halls are making a comeback, and they have been for a while. And tonight we have with us Lawrence Jaffe, who has worn many hats since I've known him for about 20 years. And he has been very involved with Grange Halls. I hear with the revival of Grange Halls. Welcome back to Mouthful.
Thank you for having me on Mouthful. It's been a little while since I've been on
your
show.
Yeah, you were on in the first couple of... We weren't in this studio yet, were we?
We had comfortable armchairs, and I sat, I believe, with Scott Matheson from Laguna Farms, and we talked about community-supported agriculture.
That's right. That you were one of the early people involved in what has come to be known as CSAs.
they've become a really successful model for supporting farms here in Sonoma County, and the numbers have grown dramatically.
Yeah, they really have. That's something. It's a topic I want to take up in a few weeks as well. We may come back to that. We may come back to that before the night is over. Give a little preview, but let's talk about Grange Halls and your involvement.
Well, tonight I'm here wearing proudly my Grange pin as vice president and overseer of the Sebastopol Grange Hall. And we've been undergoing a tremendous renaissance. It all started a few years ago in the winter, about this time of year. I drove, as always, from work in Santa Rosa home to Sebastopol.
What were you doing then?
I was working as an attorney. I went to law school in the summer, pardon me, in the winter, and I worked as a farmer in the summer. And eventually, when I got married, my wife informed me that I would need to make a little more money. So I was coming back, and there on the side of the Grange Hall was some terrible graffiti. And I could see the man out there trying to paint over it, and I could tell that he was having a hard time reaching up high enough to paint over it. And I looked at that and I thought, oh, this hall finally, it really needs people. And I brought a friend to the meeting and we walked in and there were four fabulous people, two of them over 70 and one of them under 18. And these folks had heroically been keeping the hall going, renting it, making sure the taxes were paid, put a new roof on it to keep the rain out. But as far as expanding the Grange community, they were having a hard time. And so I did that classic thing that anyone would do. I brought my friend and we joined. And the next week, the next month, I had him bring a friend and I brought another friend. And pretty soon we had a pretty thriving community. And as you walk in, I know everybody's driven by this hall on Highway 12. And for a long time, it didn't look great. And when you walk in, though, those front doors, it's beautiful inside. A beautiful wooden ceiling, a lovely floor suitable for dancing, a stage, a lovely mural painted in the 1960s, and a big kitchen from which pancake breakfasts have traditionally been served. So once we joined the Grange and got some life and some activity, of course, we painted the outside. And it turns out that a Grange community is an easy thing to grow if you realize that everybody in our community is doing two or three things besides just going to work and going home. There are people involved in climate, people involved in farm markets, people involved in open space. And if you help people see that by joining the Grange, they can enhance all of the things that they're doing in the community, well, they're inspired to join and pitch in.
So it's a membership thing, a Grange.
A Grange is a membership thing. And I want to be clear, because folks may see Grange halls all over the rural areas of the United States. Mm-hmm. And these are halls, but the Grange is actually a group of people who own a hall. And these halls, by and large, were built by these groups of people.
Mm-hmm. And who owns the land?
The Grange is owned by the people of the Grange. And it's not owned by the state Grange. It's owned by each individual Grange. It's in trust for the people of the Grange in perpetuity. And the hall is owned free and clear.
That is so awesome. This makes me so happy.
So in Sebastopol, the Grange has been in town since 1878. But it didn't have its own hall for a long time. It shared with the Odd Fellows when the Odd Fellows were on Wilton Street, where the gas station is now. Mm-hmm. And then it shared for a long time with the Odd Fellows where they are now, where that beautiful new mural is going up. Mm-hmm. But after World War II, the farmers were able to put together enough money to build a hall on some land donated by the Hempworths. And they owned the dairy site that is now part of the city of Santa Rosa's land. So they donated that 2 acres. And the folks hired one professional carpenter to build the hall. And then after milking or after other farm work, they came over and worked a few hours during the day and then went home. So it took a while. And in order to do it, they borrowed money from themselves. And they had little Grange bonds, which they paid off to themselves over time by holding pancake breakfasts and dances. And we were just cleaning up the hall and some of the closets, getting ready for the big state convention this week. And in the hall next to the stage, there were some cribs. And they were that kind of classic old school crib you haven't seen.
Blondish, golden.
Exactly. Yep, and a couple of high chairs that were so cute. And I asked, now, what are these here for? And they said, well, when we were paying off the hall, The farmers would come with their kids, and they'd keep dancing, and the kids would fall asleep, and they'd put them in the high chairs or in these cribs, and they kept them for the dances so that the farmers could stay out a bit later.
That is so awesome. So that you said when you were cleaning it up, you mentioned dance or something. So are there dances there now?
We have been what we have done is we have opened up the hall and made it possible for people to rent the hall for community events, for private parties, or to come and ask us to let them use the hall for a Grange-sponsored event, which you can hold in the hall and use all our tables and chairs. Now, we have had some dances, especially in support of the Spiral Food Co-op with live bands. We've had, of course, birthday parties and quinceañeras, which are very popular rentals for our hall. We've also had some weddings, and we just shined up the floor. So if you want to wear your socks, I guarantee you can have a good dance.
I'm going to ask you right now on the air. This just popped into my head. What if we had Mouthful's 18th anniversary party there? Can we talk about that?
We would love to host Mouthful's 18th anniversary party at the Grange Hall. It's a perfect fit.
We could make it a Mouthful dance.
We could make it a Mouthful dance. And, of course, we have a kitchen where
we can have food.
Some of the tastiest local produce around.
Right on. It's a deal. Okay, did you hear that? Start planning. I thought I was going to have a Mouthful haiku contest for our 18th anniversary, but maybe we'll have a sock hop instead.
Well, maybe we can use a really good haiku as part of our publicity.
There we go. This is so much fun. I've got to take a musical break.
Oh, so we play on and?
Yeah.
Because that's how you're starting it.
Okay. One and two and three.
Thank you.
You are listening to Mouthful, the topic tonight, Grange Halls, Sonoma County and beyond. I'm so excited. I can hardly contain myself, and I'm not faking. So the Grange Halls I know about, Sebastopol Grange, Hessel Grange, where there's been the farmer, the trading thing every Wednesday.
There's been a growers exchange.
Yeah, that's at growers exchange.
At Hessel Grange every Wednesday afternoon during the summer.
And then there's Bennett Valley.
And Bennett Valley. And now the list of Grange Halls still operating in Sonoma County includes Rincon Valley, Sonoma Valley out in the Springs area, the Petaluma Grange, which is newly formed and is meeting at the Seed Bank.
Now, is it newly formed or newly reformed?
It's newly, it's a new Grange.
New Grange, okay.
New Grange chapter, just about 2 years old, and they are thriving. And then there's the Hessel Grange. And let me say that the Bennett Valley Grange has a special place in United States Grange history. It is the oldest continuously operating Grange Hall in the entire country. It was opened on December 4th, 1873. And I know some people have been to the New Farm Market over in the West.
West, yeah.
At the West End.
West End.
And you can see the Duturk Round Barn there. Well, Mr. Duturk was there at the opening of the Bennett Valley Grange. So just pointing out that the Grange has played a huge role in the agricultural and rural life of not just Sonoma County, but across every rural community.
Mm-hmm. Tell us a little bit about what's happening this midweek. Is that it?
Well, we're really excited. We've been revitalizing our hall and bringing members of the community and doing things, and we've caught the eye of the state Grange organization. Now, in California, at its peak, there were over 300 active Grange halls. Now there are 153. That's still quite a number. And every year, there is an annual state Grange convention. This year, it's the 141st state Grange convention, and they have asked us to host it here in Sebastopol. Couldn't be more excited. I think they're coming to see how we are increasing our membership and what it is about our community that makes it such a special place for a Grange Hall and gives the Grange community the ability to help in so many ways here inside the community. Well, I'm excited to host them. We'll have people from all over the state, both north, south, and as far east as our state goes. We'll be debating resolutions that we want our state Grange to push in the legislature. Some of our past successes recently include the industrial hemp bill, which the governor signed this week.
Yeah, I just heard about that. That we did in Mouthful's very early years. I did a show on industrial hemp, and I was just thrilled to hear that the governor signed the bill.
And we've been working on this bill for about 3 years, and it finally got through and to the governor and was signed. We also were in the forefront of the ballot initiative to label genetically modified products. We held signature gathering trainings in many of our Grange halls across the state, and most of our halls put up signs in support of it. And we're going to talk about leading that one more time because it's important to have people know what's in their food. Food and agriculture are the foundation of the Grange, and if anything, they're the foundation of our prosperity here in Sonoma County.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm really excited. Our convention opens on Wednesday with some workshops and a tour of Singing Frog Farms. Then in the evening, we're hosting a reception for the young farmers of Sonoma County, and we've invited the Young Farmers Guild and many of the other young farmers in the community to come. And then we're following that with a free showing of Symphony of the
Symphony
Soil.
Symphony of the Soil, yes. Deborah Coons Garcia movie.
Got a great review. I haven't seen it yet, so I'm excited to see it in our new, clean, painted, refurbished Grange Hall with our new movie screen. We'll be hosting that at 7 o'clock, and of course, the community is welcome.
Oh, they are. Now, this is Thursday?
Wednesday, October 9th.
Wednesday, October 9th. Too late to get into my column, but I can do a blog piece about that. That's great. What's the cost?
The cost is free. We're inviting the community on Wednesday before we officially open the convention so that we can cross pollinate and introduce the ideas, values, and feelings of Sonoma County with the Grangers who are coming from out of town.
That is so great.
We've put a lot of emphasis on community resilience, local food and food security, and the local economy. And these are ideas that are as older than the founding of the Grange, but really still resonate very deeply with the people of Western Sonoma County and, dare I say, all of the other active Grange halls in California.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, when there's so much bad news, you know, this is just so thrilling. Just before I came here, I read Maureen Dowd's column that was in the New York Times today, and it made me want to curl up in bed and not get out of bed. She did a fantasy about it was year 2084, I think. It was 2084. And basically, the story was, with the current shutdown of the government, it was never resolved. And she does this whole science fiction thing about it. And the really creepy thing about it, like all good science fiction, was that there was that big kernel of believability. And when something seems, when something that is so big is causing such despair, my response is always, open your eyes and look to what's closest to you. And for me, that's growing my own spinach or picking apples from a tree or going to my farmer's market. And I can now add local Grange halls to the list. And on that note, another musical break.
Yesterday took my heartache and sorrow. Today from the past I am free. Well, I lost my world, but I lost all my women. Like a kid, I can just run and play. Now I can make up for my hard time to wake up in a new world every day. I've got a new road under my wheel. In my heart there's a new little song. Well, I'm living instead of forgiving. From now on I'm traveling along.
I want to tell you that Larry Robinson read us a poem recently, and it just spoke to me so much. And I wrote it down. I went and looked it up, and I brought it with me because it talks about how you felt about reading the Maureen Dowd. David White, this is not the age of information. This is not the age of information. Forget the news and the radio and the blurred screen. This is the time of loaves and fishes. People are hungry, And one good word is bread for a thousand.
It's beautiful, but don't forget the radio, okay? Well, we had a phone call. Somebody wanted to know how politically active Granges are today and said that Granges were originally formed to fight Southern Pacific freight charges.
Well, that's an interesting part of history. I was first, in fact, introduced to the Grange in UC Santa Cruz during my political studies when my professor had me read a book called The Populist Movement. Now, Granges were first started after the Civil War in order to bring people off the farms and together to share economic and good times and economic information. But they didn't thrive. They didn't thrive until the farmers realized that they were not getting fair prices for their produce in the big cities, and they were being charged an outrageous amount for shipping their products to the big cities. And in return, they were also being charged outrageous amounts for the implements and other industrial products that they needed when they were shipped back. So as soon as the Grange took on these kinds of political things, it began to thrive and open up chapters in many, many communities throughout the country. And the Grange is notable for many of its big political successes. The cooperative movement, which was part of the populist movement during the time of Teddy Roosevelt, started with the Grange. Farmers, giant grain co-ops of grain, where they could store their grain and sell it for good prices, came out of Grange halls. In fact, even here in Sonoma County, we still have a Grange credit union where you can put your money to work in the local community. These successes.
Where is it based?
The Grange Credit Union is based in Ronert Park.
Wow.
So we have this piece of working history, and all the more important now that we've had another round of banking panic.
Yeah.
In fact, I went and read on the Internet Archive the opening issue of the Pennsylvania State Grange newspaper from 1878, and its opening words had to do with, "Shall we bail out the bankers again? Again and again, they have gone bankrupt and forced the people to bail them out." This is 1878. How far have we really come?
It's really interesting.
And I want to note that the Declaration of Principles, which were written for the Grange by the first California master of the state Grange, includes some words about the economy. They are that we shall endeavor to accomplish the following objectives: to develop a better and higher personhood among ourselves, to enhance the comforts and attractions of our homes and our farms, and to discountenance the credit system, the mortgage system, the fashion system, and every other system that tends to prodigality and bankruptcy. These are old words.
Wow, even fashion.
But they don't sound that far off from some of the things that people have been talking about since 2008.
Yeah, that's pretty interesting. And when again was that written?
1870.
Wow.
So these are the old founding principles, but they're still relevant. It's about doing for yourself what you can, rather than going to work and earning money to pay someone to do for you what you could have done for yourself.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Richard Heinberg, who's been to our hall, and we've had a series of great speakers come through, Richard Heinberg, Chris Martinson. Richard Heinberg was giving his great presentation in our hall, and he stopped at a picture of a Grange hall, and he said, "You know, America needs 50 million new farmers." And I couldn't agree with him more.
Absolutely.
I think if you take into account all the people who grow something for themselves, a bit of spinach, a pomegranate, those people are farmers because they're creating something for themselves. And if we just inspire them to see their productivity as meaningful, then I think we can have those 50 million new farmers right now, because people really are doing for themselves now much more than we were a few years ago.
Sure, absolutely.
I think if the civic ideas of participating in our community, working for the betterment of our neighbors, and going to our city council meetings and advocating for the things we need have been going out of style, if these things have been going out of style since our country was founded, they'd have long since been dead. I believe there are times when these ideas come back like green shoots on the hillsides after a rain, and I think this is one of these times.
Yeah, I think you're right, and you know, it's just really a great thing. One thing I want to talk about now, get real down to earth, and practical, because you've been leading us there, to join a Grange Hall here in Sonoma County. You said $35 a year membership?
It's $35 a year. The price is low. And mm-hmm. ever since its founding, the Grange has always had men and women as equal members. Mm-hmm. And many of the most famous Grangers have been women, even mm-hmm. long before women were allowed to vote in the United States. To come and join a Grange, you just need to come to a meeting. You have to come, and you have to take an oath. And
you have to take an oath.
You have to take an oath. The oath is to respect your fellow members, to not speak ill of them, to...
There goes the gossip.
And, well...
I'm teasing.
And after the oath, you're sworn in and you become a patron of husbandry. And we can refer to ourselves as brothers and sisters. So I would love it if you would come down and join our Grange
Hall. Oh, I will
join.
I will definitely join.
And then I can call you sister.
Cool. I've never had a brother, so I would love that. And then once you join, what do you do? You know, I assume people are encouraged to be active.
Yes. Each hall has its own version of what kind of activities it wants to have. Our hall brought back the 4-H and opened the door so 4-H could use our hall again. Mm-hmm. We've made money renting our hall, so we've been able to support the Future Farmers of America at both El Molino and Annaly High School. Mm-hmm. We've given some small grants to the School Garden Network and to the school gardens at Wright School. We also have this wonderful hall, which is so useful because, you know, when people have a good idea, they go to the kitchen table. And they mm-hmm. invite a few friends. And mm-hmm. if it's really a good idea, pretty soon your kitchen table isn't big enough. And where is the place you can take your idea? You know, if you're a member of the hall, then your good idea can come down to the hall and you can have the next biggest meeting and help it get organized. Mm-hmm. So we've been helping, for example, Spiral Foods, the co-op that's forming in Sebastopol. Mm-hmm. We gave a home to Feed Sonoma while they were getting ready to move into the Barlow. And we've also been working to clean up our hall and make it more inviting.
I want you to paint the outside a different color.
Okay. Do you have suggestions?
I do. I envision it as sort of a very deep, almost brick red as the background.
That's great. And that was one of the suggestions, because painting the hall, it had been brown, which faded to pink over mm-hmm. 20 years.
Yeah.
So we chose between red and green, and I wish you'd been a member so you could vote. Your single vote may have tipped the balance.
Yeah. Well, it'll need to be painted again. I just see it because when I drive by there, I always look, and I look to see what's in the parking lot, and I'm always curious what's going on. And then I think, oh, the building needs to be red. And I don't really go around painting everything red. People think I do, but I don't. One thing, and I don't want to sound negative, and I'm afraid that what I have to say might sound a little negative, not about Grange Halls at all, but about some other organizations. But one of the complaints that I have personally with certain food organizations that will go unnamed is that, number one, I get pressured to join, as anyone who's in the food community does. There's nothing special about me. But a lot of these organizations, what they do tends to duplicate what I do during the day. So, and their meetings tend to be, well, it's a potluck, so pay $75, bring a dish that you make at home, and then we're going to visit a beekeeper, when maybe I've just written about that beekeeper as part of my work, and the reason I want to leave my house at night is because I'm always cooking, and if you come over to my house for dinner, I don't want you to bring anything. But if I come over to your house for dinner, I'm not bringing anything either, because to me, it's a night off. And so there's so much duplication of what I think a lot of people who actually work in the food community do that I really am hoping that maybe it's not quite that way.
Well, we do have...
Potlucks are okay. Potlucks are okay, but not potlucks and then I give you $75 and, you know, and I duplicate everything I do during the day.
Well, not everybody is lucky enough to be able to do what they love all day
long.
Yeah,
I thought it might be that.
And the original purpose of the Grange Hall was for the people who did all day long to be able to come together and be together without having to work.
Yeah.
So, for example, when the Granges were formed, roads weren't paved, and people could stay on their farm for months on end over those wood-fired ovens canning their produce for the winter. There are a lot of things that you can do better with a few people together. So halls have always been a place where people came together to share that kind of work. Mm-hmm. And in fact, we had a great day recently where we made 40 Gravenstein apple pies.
Say, no, that kind of thing is fine with that, hands-on working. That's fine with me. No, I'm not complaining about that at all. In fact, I think that's cool. No, it's just when the whole point of getting together is to pay a bunch of money, have a potluck, and hear somebody talk. You know, I'm much more interested in being active in the community, being active if I go somewhere, and having fun.
I couldn't agree more. And fun is such a big part of it.
And that's so important.
I find that people love to come together and laugh, and they love to work. And I learned one of the things I did between the last time I was on your program and this time was I worked for Pat
our
Wiggins,
friend, our dear friend,
who's recently passed, but I learned something from her, and she used to quote Benjamin Franklin and say, "If you want to make a friend, borrow a book." But I really came to understand it to mean, if you want somebody to feel like they're a part of what's going on, you have to ask them to do something. And
so
we've got a core of folks who've been working. The Occidental Arts and Ecology folks have been bringing down in great lecturers and showing great slideshows about permaculture in Africa and Cuba, and they brought their design team down and created for us an entire permaculture design for our 2-acre site.
Cool.
And now that we've finished cleaning up the inside of the building, we're ready to move outside.
That's great.
And so this is something that it's going to take work, and I think work is what it is that people like to do when they're together.
I agree. I love working. You know, I have no problem. I love working. I also love dancing, but I love working. I love doing things.
I think it's the Grange is very much a doing things organization. Mm-hmm. We are holding a craft fair. Speaking of things that you do, we have got our annual craft fair on November 16th, and that's going to have 35 or 38 local crafters, and that's all day Saturday from 10 to 5. And those folks are busy now creating the crafts, and this is something that provides an alternative to buying things that are made overseas.
I think you can do all of your holiday shopping, whatever holiday, winter holiday you might celebrate, all of them perhaps. I think you can do all of your holiday shopping at crafts fairs. I write about that every week, starting really coming up fairly soon. Every week in my column, Mouthful, that comes out on Fridays, I do a craft fair watch. So this is a new one. He didn't know about this one, so I will definitely be putting it in. And that's pretty much what I do. I don't go to malls much anyway. I mean, if I have to go to the Apple store, I go to the Apple store. Otherwise, I don't go to malls. But I start avoiding pretty much every kind of store once they start shoving, you know, Christmas shopping down your throat.
Well, we talk a lot about this exact sort of economic thing at the Grange. How can we support what is local in Sonoma County and keep the money and the energy circulating here in the county? Because a lot of times there are a lot of things we must buy to live here, and the money goes in an envelope or otherwise across the border of the county, and it doesn't matter if it goes to Sacramento or to Saigon, it's gone. So we talk a lot about, and so we are working hard to incubate young farmers to help them be successful. We are hoping that the co-op, the Sparrow Food Co-op, takes off after our work of helping them get started. Mm-hmm. And many of those folks are our members. The hall itself also, because we have this beautiful asset, it appears to me that every one of our members is a member of two or three things, well, just like you are. Mm-hmm. And they find that a benefit of making sure the Grange members know about what's going on either at the climate campaign or in other schools around town so that they can build the support. It's like LinkedIn, but being really right there in the room.
Yeah.
And a lot of partnerships are being made.
Well, I think one of the differences, and I really don't want to sound like bitchy and complainy. I think one of the differences is some of the organizations that I'm talking about in certain ways have been started to a large degree by wannabe foodies. They're not exclusively, but they think they have more of that foodie mentality. And I always say I am not a foodie. And there tends to be a lot of the I'm eating this and you're not attitude, which is so pervasive in the world of food, certainly in America. And you guys, I mean, you're based on farmers, granges, community, close to the earth. And I think the closer to the earth something is, the better it is.
I am a great admirer of the West County Community Seed Bank. And if I could see the Grange growing in the future, I would love to convince my brothers and sisters at the hall that we ought to be trying to create a permanent home.
Now, are they connected with OAC?
They're at the St. Stephen's Church in Sebastopol,
okay.
And they have a seed garden.
Oh.
And many of our Grange members have taken seeds from the seed bank, which operates like a library, and then at the end of the season returned seeds to the library.
Oh, I need to have them on the show.
They're fantastic. And I know that you wrote a book on polenta because I got interested in growing polenta corn.
Cool.
Which I then grew and cooked. I didn't use all 101 of your recipes from your book.
You don't need to.
But
if you get inspired and not use any of them, I'm happy.
And then I put that seed at the seed bank. So
there could
be polenta growing all over the county.
Uh-huh.
And it's these are the sorts of ideas that make the Grange mm-hmm. an interesting place to be, because that's my idea.
Mm-hmm.
But everyone has an idea like that. And most of them I never thought of.
Yeah.
So it's great to be able to come together and link people and offer them support and encouragement.
Uh-huh. Have you come across anybody who is looking at Sonoma County wool?
Sonoma County wool.
Here's something I was just talking with somebody about that is so interesting to me. First of all, I have just ordered a comforter for my bed made out of wool from Bodega. Completely handmade here. And what I didn't know is that wool actually works during the summer. It doesn't make you too hot. You can use it year-round. And in certain ways, it can be better than down. It doesn't, you know, get sort of mushy and flat like down eventually does. So I was talking to some wool producers. And one of the things I learned is that larger sheep farmers, people with a lot of wool, they because there's no process, there hasn't been any processing locally or even statewide, or there's been very little processing, they actually have to pay to put wool into landfill. So it's an expense that farmers incur, and what they're trying there, my understanding is there may be a small, possibly a mill, whatever you call it, a mill in Valley Ford now. I haven't had a chance to go look yet. There's another larger one somewhere, possibly Willits, Hopland, in that area. This is all work on my desk. And what they're trying to do is shift this expense from the farmer to make it another level of income for the farmer. And that seems like it might be perfectly suited to Grange activities. And I find it real. I mean, we're such a great area for sheep.
We're a great area for sheep, and these kind of economic initiatives, these mm-hmm. kind of economic initiatives are exactly what the history of the Grange is about, with those co-ops and those purchasing consumers getting together and lobbying to change the law. You know, the Grange was behind the cottage food law. It was one of the big supporters. Mm-hmm. And I just had a conversation today with Sarah Silva, who talked about how we now have enough poultry growers in the county that we should have our own poultry processing facility.
Oh, yeah.
And, of course, a wool processing facility is exactly the same kind of thing.
Yeah.
Because it's with the adding value to the products that sustains people on their farms and also makes it interesting that you can get something unique in Sonoma County.
Yeah. And somebody even went to a wool workshop and a felting workshop, and they made a yurt out of Sonoma County wool, a livable yurt.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's a lot of potential here.
I want to give a shout out to my wife, Anne, who has taken wool from Bodega, dyed it with Kool-Aid dyes, and then felted it into grand pictures of goddesses like Saraswati and Ganesha, and has recently entered them in the Sebastopol Center for the Arts Textile Show.
Oh.
So we'll see if she gets in. It's
cool.
Juried.
Good luck.
But it's another one of these uses for wool that she's finding is art and textiles.
Yeah. Yeah. And felting is making this huge. I have two friends who are doing extraordinary felting. One who's doing wearable art, and then another one who is doing I mean, she felted my younger daughter and her husband as there, it was about, I don't know, 10 inches tall. My daughter in her orange wedding dress and her husband in a Hawaiian shirt. That was their wedding present from me. And it looked like them. And she's done her daughter and her husband and famous people. She did one of Barbara Walters, even with the high heels, and it looked like Barbara Walters, and sent it to Barbara Walters and got a thank you note back. So there's amazing talent using farm products that were previously going into landfill.
I think it's fantastic. And just to note how felting is really blossoming, I was reviewing the list of folks who want to come to the Grange Craft Fair this year, and this year there are three folks who are going to be having different types of felted products using local wool. That's up from one last year. So it's a blossoming of a movement.
That is so great. We're going to take one more quick musical break and come back with our final segment talking about Sonoma Grange Halls.
Sunshine since I don't know when. Man, I'm stuck in Folsom Prison. Time keeps dragging on, but that train keeps moving on down to San Antonio. When I was a baby, my mama told me, son, always be a good boy and don't ever play with guns. But I shot a man Reno, just to watch him die. When I hear that whistle blowing, I hang my head and I cry.
It's Mouthful. It's Michelle Jordan. Thanks for sticking with us this evening. Before we have the last bit of conversation, I just wanted to preview a couple things coming up. Next week, we're going to be talking about five generations of Italian families in restaurants and wineries in Napa and Sonoma. I think that should be a really interesting show. And then the following week, October 20th, we will have the whole hour with Chef John Ash, who has a brand new cookbook out. It is called Culinary Birds, The Ultimate Poultry Cookbook. I just got the book in the mail the other day. It's a fine, fine book from our friend John. So he will be on October 20th. Grange Halls, little bit of trouble going on?
Well, the California State Grange has a difference of opinion from the National Grange, and it stems from the California perspective that you should label your genetically modified ingredients so people can have a choice. And that seems to have been where the parting of the ways took place, because, of course, the National Grange says things like, we need to feed 9 billion people, and how are you going to do it without using all the technology that is available? And we, of course, here in California think if you have to worry about feeding 9 billion people, well, we here locally better start worrying about feeding ourselves so that we know what's in our food.
And so when the large system collapses, we are still growing our food.
And, you know, even if it doesn't collapse, what if we just live better anyway?
Yeah.
And so there's been a parting of the ways. Temporarily, I hope, with our National Grange brothers and sisters. The California Grange is growing, forming new granges. People are joining older halls. It's undergoing a renaissance and a revitalization.
And is there pretty much consensus among the California Granges about GMOs and those issues? Not so much fighting?
There's not consensus, but we have carried the majority in our convention discussions the last few years.
Okay.
There are, and the convention is really interesting because each hall puts up what it thinks are the important issues. Our hall last year asked for a banning of the types of pesticides that are causing honeybees colony collapse, and that passed. Other halls call for changes in the way milk is priced so that the dairy farmers in their neighborhood can survive economically. Mm-hmm. And so we debate these at the convention and we vote, and it is a majority rule. And then those become the policies of the State Grange, and our lobbyist in Sacramento and our state president work on these issues.
Mm-hmm. We're just about out of time. Good luck on that. That's interesting. California always leads the way. You meet on Tuesdays, last Tuesday of the month?
We meet on the last Tuesday of the month at 6:30.
At 6:30. And for people who want to find out about the Grange Hall closest to them, what sort of thing, how do you find out about Grange Halls?
Okay, starting locally and working outwards, SebastopolGrange.org is
SebastopolGrange.org. That's really easy.
Really easy, and that has information about the convention. And if you want to rent our hall or want to host a community event or get our attention, that's great. Then, working up to the state level, the California State Grange has a Grange locator on its page, and you can find the closest Grange hall just with a few simple clicks.
Cool. And what's that website?
That is californiagrange.org.
Cool.
And then I want to note that unless you live in Los Angeles, there is a Grange Hall close to you. They were built close together in the days when people didn't travel on paved roads with petroleum. So there's one at the center or edge of every community that was involved in agriculture before World War II.
That is so cool. Well, Lawrence Jaffe, thank you so much. Do you still work as an attorney?
I do.
You do? Okay. Private practice?
Private practice.
What's your specialty?
Workers' compensation.
That does not surprise me. Well, good luck to you, and I hope it is a fabulous convention. And just real quickly, it's Wednesday night at the Sebastopol Grange on Highway 12. If you would like to attend the free showing of Symphony of the Soil, the latest, 7 o'clock, the latest movie by Deborah Kunz-Garcia, who's also been a guest here on Mouthful. And on that note, we are out of time, so meet me back here next week when we will be talking about five generations of cooking and winemaking with a couple of Italian families. Have a great week. Take care of yourselves, and most importantly, take care of each other.
Now listen to what the preacher says. Now, all day. I know she's cooking something good, so let's bow our heads and pray.
Sing to the Lord, let praises be. It's time for dinner now, let's go.
And the moral of this story, well, children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Got some beans and good cornbread.
Listen to what the preacher says.